Alright, so I'm so interested to hear about any Venus Uranus conjunction stories from last week. I think it was Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, Venus, planet of love, was in a conjunction with Uranus, who is the planet of surprise. Sometimes Venus Uranus conjunctions can be a little like, oh, I ran into someone cute at the store, or something unexpected happened, or I don't know, like just something came in that didn't was not foreseen. And it's funny because this Venus Uranus conjunction happened in Taurus. And now remember, I have Venus Uranus in my own natal chart conjunct in Capricorn. So because I have it in my chart, I feel like I usually feel this transit when it's happening, in the sky, right? And I didn't even think about this, but my friend, who's a Taurus, invited me to this like burlesque show slash clown show. It was just like kind of weird, like, 'cause there was like these really like sexy burlesque dancers in like one part of the show, and then sandwiched in the middle was like this clown skit. And then, like, it ended with more like burlesque dancing, and I was like, wait, that's the most Venus Uranus thing I could have ever imagined. So, that was my Venus Uranus conjunction, being at a burlesque clown show on Thursday night, not even planning it, but that's just what came about for me. Did anybody have any wild dates this week? Did anybody meet their soulmate? What was up this week? Any crazy things happen? Unexpected things? Surprisingly, the week ahead, I don't want to say it looks calm, because we do have a full moon, but I feel like this is the first week in a while where we're kind of like maybe getting the chance to integrate some of the bigger changes that have come in the past month or so. Because remember, it's April now. Happy April, everybody. But in March we had like so much happen. We've already talked about this, but we've had, Saturn. We had Saturn moving into Pisces. We had Pluto switching over to Aquarius. We had Mars stationing direct. I mean, this is like big shifts that came in during March. And now that we're in April, especially this first week of April, and with the Libra full moon coming up Wednesday, Thursday, I kind of feel like this week, this week feels like a moment where we're like sort of having a integration moment, if you will. Jess, you said I had a lot of unexpected career developments with people chatting about me in good ways, but also feeling unsatisfied with where I am. Yeah, I get that. I get that. Faye, you said Tinder sexting, which I totally avoid, but alas. Okay, that feels Venus Uranus conjunction. But to speak to what you just said, Jess, the sort of feeling unsatisfied with where I am, I do think that sometimes that is a something that can kind of come about when a planet triggers Uranus, just because Uranus is the planet of change in a lot of ways, radical change. And sometimes it's like it's a little hard to sit with that energy that is telling us like, I want change, I want change, I want an evolution. I want something that that I don't have, and like have that energy triggered and then still feel like we're being called to sit in something or still complete the current lesson. So that too can kind of be a Uranus conjunction in some ways. But Faye, that makes sense that it was happening in your seventh house. And this week I was thinking, you know, it's Easter this week, or Sunday. So in 1 week we'll have, Easter in the, at least in like the Christian, most Christian, what's the word I'm trying to look for? Most Christian denominations, I think, other than like Greek Orthodox, I think most of us have Easter this week. And it's something that I like to talk about, not necessarily because I consider myself to be a Christian, although I was raised Catholic, so I'm like familiar, right? You could say, but it's something that I think is a really, maybe interesting story to consider when it comes down to also what's happening in the astrology this week. And I also think every tarot reader knows the story of, you know, sort of Jesus dying on the cross and being rebirthed, because that story is literally in the tarot in a lot of ways. I mean, we don't actually call the fool Jesus, but, you know, once we get to the hanged one, and then we get to death, and then we get to temperance, I mean, there's something very Easter-like, you know, that's kind of being probed at. And I think this week, when it comes to that Easter imagery, I was thinking about, like, how we can apply it in sort of a pagan way, or a way that kind of evokes, like, nature worship, or evokes a more general spirituality, and maybe kind of separates it a little bit from, like, the Christian pantheon, which is most of the time what we think of when we say Easter. But what happens when we sort of maybe strip Jesus from, like, what we've made Christianity to be? And, you know, what happens when we just really tap into the energy of that story? And it's funny, I was just talking about this with my roommate in the car this morning, because I dropped her off somewhere before I drove home to the suburbs. And I was saying, we were talking about Reiki attunements. And I think I've told this story on my podcast before, but I, my whole life being raised in like the Catholic Church, never, ever, ever did I experience like the spirit of Jesus or the energy of Jesus. Like, I never felt any sort of spark of inspiration or anything along those lines. Like, I just never felt all that energetically connected to those teachings, especially in the church, right? But during one of my Reiki attunements, I felt like the sort of, but anyways, during one of my Reiki attunements, I felt like the spirit of Jesus, kind of come to me, and it was really weird how I, like, knew who it was right away. And it was really weird that the first time in my whole life, like, really feeling the spirit of Jesus in, like, a non-patriarchal, non-Christian kind of way, I was like, oh, this is who this is. You know, like, this is the spirit, or this is, like, the sort of, this is kind of the healing power of this, this vibe. Okay, so this isn't necessarily me saying that, like, this sermon is gonna be all about, like, Jesus and Easter or whatnot, but I just wanted to mention that we tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater, I think, because Christianity and Catholicism can be so traumatizing, I think, for a lot of us. But I want to invite you this week to maybe let in the spirit of Easter, if you will, in your own way, or maybe see Easter through the lens of, like, a different pantheon. See maybe Jesus or the story, the characters in the story of Jesus dying on the cross and being rebirthed as more spiritual entities versus, like, these Christian characters, I guess. And I think it could be really powerful to consider that this week, especially as we go into springtime. And I didn't realize we have two Aries new moons that are sandwiched between this Libra full moon. And, you know, speaking of that sort of Easter vibe and how Easter kind of shows up in the tarot, right? I brought, like, the two cards that kind of remind me of this spirit of this week. And we have Temperance and we have the Star with us. Okay, so these two cards. Emmy, you said Easter was always my favorite holiday, but it was because of the bunnies. Yes. yep, I would agree. Yeah, in some way. Laura, you said, I can't stop thinking about the American Gods episode of Easter Ostara. Oh, I'll have to check that out. I've never watched American Gods, but I bet I'd like it. My Rona Recovery, you said, Rob Brenzi has a really great blog post called Reimagining Christ, where he talks about Jesus from the perspective of an astrologer. Yes. See, this is what I'm kind of getting at. Like, it's easy to be like, you know, in our, in our, like, Christian or in our religious, sort of trauma, it's easy to kind of be like, oh yeah, Easter, like, you know, Jesus rises from the dead or whatever, and just kind of, like, brush it off. But I'm saying this could be, like, really inspiring this week to tap into this in, like, a non-Christian kind of way, if you will, or in a Christian kind of way, if that does vibe with you. Lauren, you said it's also Passover this week. Yes, thank you for reminding me. Like, there's more than one religion, right, that has this sort of death and rebirth kind of vibe. And Laura, you said that one Easter Ostara American God episode is the last episode of the first season. Okay, I'm gonna have to check this out. But when it comes to the tarot and where we can see Easter in the tarot, we have Temperance and the Star, right? And what's the difference between these two cards? Comment below. Just kidding, we're not in class, but you can comment below. But I will say that this that's actually a question that a lot of my tarot students will ask eventually. Like, what's the difference between these two cards? You know, Temperance being the card that comes after the Death card, right? And the Star being the card that comes after the Tower, they both kind of have a similar vibe of light returning to us after darkness, right? Or hope returning to us after a period of loss of faith, right? And specifically with the Star, I think of those moments in life for me where I did kind of lose faith, or I did start to get worried that, you know, the universe wasn't hearing me, or just like I did start to worry that, like, it wasn't gonna happen or it wasn't gonna pan out. And then something does happen where it's like, oh, the universe had me all along. You know, like, there's something powerful about the star that sort of reveals the net that is kind of always holding us from the universe. Okay. And like, think about those moments in your life where, yeah, where it's like, oh God, like, I've been searching and searching for a new job and nothing's coming up, or like, oh, I don't know how, you know, I'm gonna get out of this, or like, I don't know how I'm gonna break up with this person, or like, I don't know how this is all gonna pan out. And then something does happen, or we even receive something, like an outside piece of help, or like a nugget of wisdom from someone, or someone texts us and says, hey, I knew you were looking for a job. Here, you should apply to this. That's like a star moment, you know, because the star reminds us that even though humans have free will and we have the power to change things in our lives, there's also this other element of our time spent on Earth, which I think is about trusting that our free will, is it important? Yeah, like, is it the truth of our sort of existence? Sure. But is it everything in our existence? No. And are there unseen forces that are sort of helping us? Or are there, you know, spirits or, you know, guardian helpers, whether they're alive or more cerebral, or I guess more angelic? Are there other things helping us on our path besides our own human free will? I would say yes, absolutely, but that's me because I'm a nut job. No, I'm kidding. But I would say most of us in this realm probably believe, like, there's some inkling of divine help, right, that is on our path. And I think that's kind of what the star shows us. And even the story of Christ dying on the cross, right, kind of shows us, like, there's something beyond our human free will control that is helping or guiding us in some way, right? And Ellis, you said, I feel like the star is more raw and vulnerable and working with raw emotions rather than structured tools. Definitely, definitely. I mean, there definitely is something raw about the star. I mean, it's the person in here is nude. And I think whenever we see nudity in the tarot, there's something vulnerable. There's something a little bit, yeah, there's like the vulnerability of rebirth that we're being presented with, right? There's something there where we maybe feel seen, or we feel like we need to be seen for what we need help with. We need to ask for help, or we need to be in this position of receiving something from someone else. And I was trying to find, like, a passage or something that would maybe relate to the star. So I was, like, looking through my books this morning once I got to my parents' house. And I was, like, you know, yeah, looking through my books and trying to find, like, I don't know, like, there's so much poetry written about Easter. And, you know, there's there's just like a lot of literature out there that, you know, we could maybe pick out a quote or a sort of whatever, an important passage. And I was like, nothing sounds right. And then I was like clicking through my stories, and Blake, who was on the last episode of Witch Church, if you haven't watched the Chiron episode yet, go watch that or go listen to it. It's really good. But Blake posted a Bob Marley song, the one that's like, could you be love? Could you be loved? And I really like that song. I mean, if you know me, if you know anything about me, I'm a huge Bob Marley fan. Like, Bob Marley pops up on my Spotify year in review pretty much every year. And you know what? You know who's a really good example of, like, Jesus energy? Bob Marley. At least I think in a lot of ways. Like, I think his music it is very Jesus-like. but I was thinking about that lyric, and I was just reading too, like, on this, I think it was Reddit, someone was talking about how we think the lyrics are, could you be loved? Could you be loved? But someone on Reddit was saying, no, the lyric is, could you be love? And could you be loved? And that changes the meaning of the song for me. And also, kind of, for me, reminds me of the meaning of the star. Could you be love, and could you be loved? Reminds me of being in the frequency of receiving help, and also receiving divine guidance, and, like, those signs and symbols from the universe, which often happens when we're in the star, right? Like, the star is kind of that everything's gonna be okay in this moment of intense vulnerability. Emmy, you said Bob is an Aquarius and the star card is the Aquarius card. Yes, it is. You're so right. And then, you know, if we switch over to Temperance, you know, what's the difference? Okay, like, all right, we've got vulnerability of the star. We have healing. We have, you know, the feeling of the universe was holding me all along, or the net was there all along, or sort of the sort of, even when I wasn't trusting, or even when I did lose faith, it didn't matter because it all panned out. You know, or like someone else was looking out for me anyways. You know, that's what the star reminds us of. The Temperance card, I think, is a little different. Again, we still get that angel imagery. We get that rebirth imagery. I like to think the Temperance card is a little bit more of like this androgynous spiritual being who's not quite human, you know? They have 1 foot on water, 1 foot in land, 1 foot on land, 1 foot in water, similar to the star, 1 foot in water, 1 foot on land. The other character in the tarot who has that same imagery is the Queen of Cups. Okay. These are the things you start to notice when all you do is look at tarot, right? But with that, like, 1 foot on land and that 1 foot in water, we're kind of thinking about the Temperance card as sort of maybe 1 foot in the past, or 1 foot in everything that we've been through, like, in the material world. And with that 1 foot in water, we kind of have 1 foot in the possibility of who we're becoming. And I think that same thing is kind of happening with the cups here, right? Like, in one hand, she has the past, and in the other hand, there's the future. And they're being integrated together, like, into a potion, right? And that's why Temperance comes after the Death card. Because if the Death card is this, like, big shift of who we are, you know, someone dies, or we come out of the closet, or we cut our long hair after having long hair for our entire lives, or we break up with someone who we've dated for 10 years, we leave a toxic job. Like, those are all Death card moments, right? Like, the Death card moment reflects how much we've changed internally, and now how the material world is changing because of that. But after the death moment, we have a little bit of a hangover. We have a little whiplash, right? And I think the Temperance card kind of represents us integrating that new self. An example of this is, like, you know, when I'm not in America, like, I typically will do things that I wouldn't do here. Like, if I'm traveling by myself, like, I have no issue going out to dinner alone, or, like, showing up to places alone. Like, it actually brings me joy when I'm solo traveling and I can go and do something alone. But when I'm here, I'm like, wait, why am I afraid to go do this alone? Like, you know, like, here I feel weird about going out to dinner alone or showing up somewhere alone. And I'm like, why do I feel like that? And it's kind of this Temperance moment where there's something there about, like, integrating the new self and integrating, like, what you, how you've actually grown. And I think we've all had that moment before, right? And you're so right, Cher, it is very Pluto in Aquarius. So, again, these are kind of our Easter cards this week. Both kind of talking about a type of rebirth. I think the Temperance card is a little bit more like, I'm marinating with everything that has changed. You know, I just got married and now I'm living with someone and I'm adopting this new identity of being married, or I just became a parent and now I'm adopting this identity of being, like, a mother or a father. Like, that's more Temperance. Whereas the Star, going back to that Bob Marley, like, could you be love? Could you be loved? I think the Star kind of asks us to be in a little bit more of a frequency of receptivity, where we're like asked to have faith or hope that there are other helpers besides just us. Like, there are other beings that are looking out for us, both humans and I think spiritual beings too. Who are helping us see the signs and get us on the right path and getting us on the right path. Okay, so let's marinate with those two cards. And here's what I'll do. Why don't you, on your end, maybe just think of a... let's do this. I'm thinking of two colors, purple and orange. Now I'm fucking with you guys. Okay, I'm thinking of two colors, purple and orange. Which color seems more alluring to you? Pick one color. Okay. Okay. And I'm gonna see, like, this is me just kind of giving some individual messages here. Of, like, which one of these Easter cards is here to help you through this week. Okay. All right, so if you pick purple, the Star. Okay, putting that into real life, like, real life... A real life to-do list. Like, what do we do, or what can we do
when we get the star. For me, it's kind of about doing my best to settle into sort of like an internal state of trust and relaxation. If you see a sign this week, whether that's like your favorite song comes on the radio, or you see your numbers, or you see your animal, or whatever, really marinate in that sign. At one of the darkest moments of my life, I kept coming across ladybugs. Like, to the point where one time I took a nap, and, like, my window was open, and I woke up from that nap, and there were, like, ladybugs all over my bed. And I hadn't seen ladybugs in a while, but when I was working at Whole Foods last week, I swear to God, there was a ladybug on my register. And I was like, oh my God, what a nice sign. Like that ladybug spirit is here. And, you know, I think that's what the star asks us to do in a weird way. Like, notice and acknowledge how the universe is communicating to you in this moment. Sometimes it's more powerful to even like just be in the frequency of like, yes, like the next thing is coming. The next thing is finding me. The next thing is already on its way. Sometimes it's just more powerful to be relaxed in that frequency instead of searching in a frenzy. That's not what the star advises. The star almost says, you know, you are going to receive the right thing. Yeah, if that makes sense. Now, if you picked orange, you got the temperance card. So that kind of tells me there's something maybe even identity-wise something that has to do with identity that you're sitting with. Like, something that has to do with who you truly are versus maybe who you've been taught to be or who you used to be. There could be, like, still this bigger death moment grappling that you're grappling with in the background, right? But regardless, I think this week, especially on the full moon on Wednesday, and that relates to both of these cards. On the full moon, I think really letting it, almost welcoming in that new version of yourself in some way, even if it's hard. Like, sometimes we don't want to invite in the new version of ourselves because we're like, how am I supposed to live without this person? Or what is it like to be this version of myself who doesn't have this job? Or what is it like to be this version of myself who isn't living here or there, right? Like, sometimes we have resistance to that. Even if that very thing caused us suffering, sometimes we have resistance to like identifying with something new. And I think this week there's some kind of identity thing happening that it's like an invitation to identify with the new in some way. Okay. All right. So that's my Easter sermon. And maybe actually it's probably good that we're doing the Easter sermon right now, because next week Easter we probably won't have witch church, just because I'll be going to my grandma's house, I believe. But besides that, my friends, I would love to pull you a card for this week, give you some advice, some guidance. I hope this message can kind of maybe inspire you to get into the Easter Ostara
vibe. Again, it's not necessarily in that, like, Christian way, but in a little bit more of that nature worship or witchy way. Like, how can we invite in that spirit of death and rebirth that Jesus or whoever kind of, helps us see? Or how can we review the Easter stories that kind of swirl around in different stories, including the tarot? I think that would be interesting. Okay, let's see. Beep, 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 beep. Lindsay. Hey, Lindsay. You said, thank you, Mal. I love a card for this week. Absolutely. Let's see. Okay, Lindsay, Four of Swords. Yeah, this makes sense because you have Libra placements or you have Taurus placements or both. And, you know, Four of Swords is an invitation to rest and also receive the next step through rest. Sometimes we think the next step has to be a quest or something we're finding or digging up. As I'm talking about this, I'm thinking about like if there's a treasure in your backyard, you could try to dig up the whole backyard and like break your back and you know, like do it like the hard way, right? But also, what if you like had rested and had a dream, and in that dream you saw where the treasure was buried and you were like, oh, it's under the tree. Wouldn't have known that if I didn't rest. Okay, so I think you're receiving something really important, but it's through rest and meditation. It's not through hectic, you know, searching. Lauren, you said, I would love an anchor card for leaning into temperance. I had a feeling you were going to get temperance, Lauren. Five of Swords. This feels to me like maybe self-judgment or fear of judgment or what's really happening when others project judgment onto us, okay? And if you're afraid of what others might be thinking about your life choices or I don't know, like maybe your book kind of reveals certain things, you know, about your experience and, you know, maybe, you know, you're kind of afraid of who will read it and what they will think about your experience. But I think there's something about this week where you're sort of letting yourself own your own truth and also letting it be okay that you know, you have your truth and then someone else has their version of it, you know, and letting that be okay and not letting judgment from others or even your own self-judgment keep you from telling your truth. Laura, you said, I'd love a card. Cool. Laura, Nine of Swords. It feels, oh Lord, you're probably laughing. I hope you're laughing right now. it feels to me, you know, the word that flashes through my head when I see this is actually recovery. So what can you do in the spirit of recovery, if you will, this week? Like if you have, kind of the week off or you have a moment to recuperate and come back to equilibrium with yourself, how would you like to do that? I think this is permission to almost do what you have to do in order to recover. And if that is doing nothing and just straight up resting and watching Netflix and cuddling with the dog, like, that is what it is. Like, sometimes when the body says, I need rest, and we don't give it rest over a period of time, it's just going to give out on us, right? So there might be a little bit of element of this week where, like, yeah, your body's kind of just like, no, we're resting. It's a recovery kind of week, which I think will be good, actually. Ellis, you said, what does my inner child need right now? Okay, hanged one. Okay. I'm listening. I think there's a difference between, like, challenging yourself to get outside of your comfort zone and pushing yourself into doing something you're not ready for. And maybe there's something about this week that kind of shows you the difference. And, you know, this is coming through as, like, yeah, there is an inner child fear that maybe is at play. And I don't think any inner child is just going to get over a fear by feeling pushed into a corner or feeling forced to do something that they're not ready for. So what does your inner child need right now? They might need a little bit more time. You know, they might need a little bit more encouragement, or maybe a little bit more, like, smaller baby steps versus, like, the big leaping jump that feels too scary or confusing. I think that comes through, Ellis. Like, yeah, know the difference between pushing yourself prematurely and challenging yourself because you're ready, or at least 85% ready, right? Long way home, you said, I would love a card. Yeah. All right, long way home. Two of Cups and the Tower. This does feel very Libra full moon, right? kind of challenging our relationship stuff and, you know, what we've been conditioned to think when it comes to relationships and how to solve problems and all of that. And, you know, I think there's something here when it comes to communicating from a heart space. And when we do communicate from our true self, oftentimes it does change things. Because when we don't communicate the truth of how we're feeling, things may stay the same, but it's because we're sort of creating this, like, walk on eggshells kind of vibe. And there's something here where it's like, okay, this week you are communicating from a place of truth, whether that be with a friend, a family member, a relationship, a lover, whoever it is. But, you know, once you do that, I think there will be change that ensues. And I think it is necessary change and possibly change for the better. Okay. So yeah, consider, like, how have you been communicating lately? Have you been honest with yourself and others about how you truly feel? And what would it be like to be more honest with yourself? That feels to me like what's coming up. Evelyn, you said I would love a card. Okay, let's see. Two of Swords. Okay. This is actually coming through as if you've felt like you've been kind of isolating lately or feeling like a little bit like pushing away the world and not necessarily feeling all that social, feeling a little bit more hermity. I think this week that kind of changes. And maybe know the difference between alone time that is replenishing and alone time that feels more isolating. And it would be a good week, I think, to like call a friend and be like, "Hey, can you get me out of my funk?" That feels like the Two of Swords right now. Hey, I need someone to get me out of my funk. Jess, you said, "Hey, can I have a card for next week at work?" Yes. Nine of Cups. Cool. I think it feels like you're getting recognition for like your talents and what you're good at, and it just feels like there's something here also about guarding your talents and not giving them necessarily to the out of alignment situation, and saving your sort of talent energy, your talent juice for the right opportunity. And also, I know this is not of your nature, Jess, but I think it might be good this week to focus a little bit more on like self-care and pleasure and things that make you feel really good. And it's funny because the ego often tells us in order to make something happen, you have to hyper focus on it. But I kind of have a feeling that once you don't focus on it for a second and just kind of let it marinate and let the other people in the situation do the work while you're just like in the bubble bath, I think something might come to fruition faster. Cher, hey Cher, you said I'd love a card for the Libra full moon in my fourth house. All right. Ace of Swords. It actually kind of feels like there's a plan that's developing with this Libra full moon. And maybe it is a plan that has to do with like living situation or a new place or a new city or even like a new apartment or something like that that could give you the space that you need. But that's what comes through right away, Cher. Like, don't be afraid on this full moon to maybe put your plan in place or put your plan out in the universe, even if that plan doesn't necessarily really come together, let's say until like the Libra new moon in September or October. Still, it feels like an important moment to do a lot of visualization. And I'm also thinking if it's the Libra new moon, that means this new moon is ruled by Venus, and Venus is in your 11th house in Taurus, and it's trining Neptune in the 9th house. So, yeah, dreaming, imagining, manifesting, vision boarding, even using astrology as inspiration, that feels juicy. My Rona Recovery, you said I'd appreciate a grounding card for the week. Eight of Wands. That actually doesn't feel very grounding. Kind of feels like things are going really fast or things are kind of aligning. So, in a sense, I need a grounding card for this week. I actually think the advice or the guidance here is be intentional about your grounding practice this week, especially if it becomes kind of a busy, hectic week with a lot of moving parts. Like, make sure you take that 5 minutes in the morning to put your feet in the dirt or whatever. Like, I think you are the vehicle of your own grounding this week, and it almost needs to be part of your schedule in some way. Allie, you said I'd love a card for the week. Totally. Let's see. Ooh, Allie, Knight of Swords, but in reverse. Okay. Knight of Swords in reverse kind of feels to me like it feels to me like be careful who you communicate with from your past and also what you're communicating to them. And maybe it's easy to like pop off on an ex who like decides to text you or like get mad at like a family member or a coworker for doing something. Like, I feel like there's something about this week where it's kind of easy to want to use our words as weapons against the people who have wronged us. But there's a little bit of like a slow down your reaction time kind of message. And like, if your ex, I'm making this up, but if your ex does text you, can you give it 24 hours before you decide what to text back? You know, like, do you have to like text back immediately, or do you have to answer your boss's email immediately, or snap back at a family member immediately? Like, can you take a lap before you decide how to communicate? That's what I'm thinking. Lexi, you said, I've been struggling to know if I can trust my friend and if her intentions are genuine. Any insight or advice would be appreciated. The King of Pentacles is here. I don't exactly know, Lexi, and I don't think this is necessarily coming from a King of Pentacles message, but I mean, just from like my biased opinion, like, I mean, if you're questioning if you can trust a friend or a lover, I mean, usually there's already a problem, right? Right? Unless it's the kind of situation where, like, okay, you're checking your significant other's text messages and you're like, are they cheating? Are they cheating? Are they cheating? They're definitely not cheating, but, like, you've been cheated on in the past, so, like, now you're projecting that insecurity onto the situation. Like, I think that's where mistrust can be kind of, like, not true, but, you know, maybe that's where the King of Pentacles comes in. Like, if the King of Pentacles represents you maybe sitting in your ultimate trust of the self, like, can you trust yourself to know when or if this friendship becomes expired? And do you trust yourself to walk away if that happens, right? Do you trust yourself to recognize the signs if it's not an aligned thing, you know? But, I mean, overall, I wouldn't necessarily, yeah, it's hard because I don't know the situation, but there's something for me that says, like, who wants to be friends with someone that they're questioning if they can trust them? And why don't you deserve friends that you do trust without question? You know, like that's the only kind of people that should be in your life. So that's what I'm kind of thinking with the King of Pentacles and their lesson with self-trust. Emmy, if you have time, can I get a card for the week? Yes. Ooh, Four of Wands. That's cute. That's kind of like full moon, 10th house, 4th house for you. Really cute. I think there's something to celebrate maybe going on this week. If there's not, make something up. You know, make a reason to celebrate. Maybe you wrote your morning pages every single day this week, or maybe you attended your first class in a while and you felt really good about it, or maybe you took yourself out to dinner or a movie when you're typically really afraid to do things alone. But there's just something here where it's like, yeah, celebrate how far you've come. Even if part of you tells yourself that you haven't made progress, like you have, and don't be afraid to, like, yeah, put joy and happiness in the universe. Lindsay, you said, haha, I was literally doing treasure hunts with my kids yesterday. Lauren, you said, wow, Mal, this is spot on about my book. Oh, I had a feeling, yeah, there was some kind of something here with the book. So I'm glad that helped. Rona Recovery, you got goosebumps. Laura, you said, I don't start my new job for a couple of weeks. This is perfect. Yeah, perfect. Focus the next couple of weeks on recovery, right? And getting set up in the right frequency for this new job. I think that'll be really great. Ellis, you said, I always appreciate a message that I can just chill with for a little bit. Yes. Love it. Long Way Home, you said, thank you. That feels pretty spot on. You're so welcome. Okay. Cool. Emmy, you said, I did my first freelancing job this past week. I feel proud that I'm moving the energy, even though I haven't been paid yet. I should celebrate it. Oh my God, that's amazing. That's amazing. I think that's the Libra full moon in your 10th house. So this is awesome. Like, that feels like a huge thing to celebrate. And I think when we celebrate the little things, I mean, not to be like a love and lighter kind of person, you know, to be like, oh, focus on the good things and only the good things will find you. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. But I mean, the world is just like too damn depressing not to celebrate the good things, right? So like, if you have a win, make a big deal about the win. Can't hurt your manifestation. All right, friends, if I didn't get to your question, I'm in full agreement that the universe will answer it at some point this week. I'm sending you good vibes. Or perhaps if you rewatch the recording, you may resonate with an answer that I already gave someone else. And happy to wake you up, SBI. Besides that, my friends, happy Easter, happy Passover, happy Ostara. Let me know what kind of Easter imagery comes up for you this week. I'm going to go teach my moon class in a little bit now, and then I'm going to go to the forest, which I'm so excited about, okay? So sending you good vibes. Oh, one more thing. If you've never had a natal chart reading with me, I have a code right now that you can use. I'm only doing this in April. It's in celebration of April Fool's Day. It's the code FOOL, FOOL. And I think my normal natal chart reading is like $150 for an hour or for 90 minutes. And if you use the code FOOL, you can have a 90-minute session with me for $100. I usually don't have codes, so this is kind of my way to bring in some people this spring that I haven't read for before. So if you've been wanting a natal chart reading with me, use that code. Take advantage. Step on into my office and let's do a little natal chart exploration. And besides that, for all of my other clients, my books are open. And Friday, April 6th, I believe. I have an in-person, no, it's Friday, April 7th. I have an in-person event at Satnam Yoga Studio in West Loop. So if you're in Chicago and you want to get an in-person reading from me, I can do astrology and tarot. I'll be at Satnam that Friday night. It's Good Friday. And there's going to be a bunch of other healers there. There's like Reiki practitioners, there's massage therapists, Akashic Records. It's kind of like a healing open house, and you kind of travel around and you go and you get a bunch of healings, and it's fun. And I think it's like $25 to get in, and then you tip your healers as you kind of go around the room. But I think it's fun because, like, by the end of it, you just kind of get like five different healings or so, and you just feel good. So yeah, if you're in Chicago, come on by Satnam in West Loop on Friday the 7th. I'll post about it as well. All right, friends, talk later. Thanks for stopping by.